So, my dear listener, you have come once again to my realm, and I have another story prepared for you. The crimes of our elders are ones that are difficult to face, but what if their crimes are coming back to bite them? I fancy telling you this story myself. And for one thing, it's quite a special one. Oh, you will come to see just how special it is. It's time for the remnants to be unleashed. Enjoy. I have traveled to many worlds, and to many universes through the entirety of time and space. But there was one part, one sector of the universe upon which no one must dare venture into. This wild sector, this untamed galaxy, is prone to wild, unpredictable, and dangerous events, locked away behind a wall of time. But there are many tales that can be told from this mysterious underworld, and I like to call these stories The Remnants. Gloaming can see the stranger through the broad glass door. The man has been standing outside, fiddling with the pockets on his trousers for a minute and a half, sending awkward grins in the direction of other, unsmiling residents. He's tried every button on the intercom, jamming the biggest ones twice, and wriggling his finger at them when he gets no response. It's too hot to be outside for long, the hottest day on Sanctu that Gloaming has ever seen. There's a buzz in the air, and a red hue to the sky that makes his scales boil. Yet, the man outside is wearing layer upon layer of clothing. Another few minutes pass before a staffer buzzes him through, and the stranger strides onto the plush red carpet of the lobby, sticky orange leaves shedding from the soles of his shoes. "Hey, I'm," he announces loudly before pressing his lips into a tight, firm line. "I'm here on hospice business." A few of the other residents are staring, others hissing quietly to themselves. This doesn't seem to discourage the man as he strides up, chin up, through the sea of chairs and directly towards Gloaming. He has the bashful smile of an idiot, and Gloaming hates it. As he passes them, the creature's hissing dies down. It's a rare sight to see a visitor, especially one so oppressively cheerful. There isn't a tourism industry on Sancta. He's made sure of that. The man stops in front of his chair. "Hello," he beams. Gloaming holds out his claw and waits for the cold press of a monitor. Nothing happens. "An honor," the man smiles. "To meet you. An honor to meet you." He glances at Gloaming's hand and extends his own, grasping onto a large, scaly finger and shaking it enthusiastically. "Father Pet Joseph, you've lived an extraordinary life." The visitor pauses for an answer. Gloaming waits for the silence to grow and become uncomfortable in the sickly heat of the room.
"Yes," says Gloaming.
"You have an enviable back catalogue. War hero, survivor, millions of victims to your name." Ped Joseph's expression turns saintly. "Uncountable sins. I can help with that."
"You're a believer?"
The man smiles and reaches into the lining of his jacket, pulling out a scruffy black wallet. A business card sits snugly in the middle. It looks official. A god delusionist. He must be from a far-off world. "I'm here to take your last rites, as it were. To put aside any regrets." Gloaming stretches his lips into a large, toothy smile.
"I have none."
The man's eyes twinkle. "We'll see. Care to join me?" He's curious and eager for a walk. It's brutally hot. He'd like to feel it.
I accept.
One of Gloaming's carers points the visitor to the handles of his chair, tells him to be careful and not to go too fast. The man nods. Gloaming says nothing as he is wheeled from the room and out into the afternoon heat. Pet Joseph is a strong man. He can tell by the way his fists clench around the chair's handles and how briskly they move away from his home. He could kill him, if he wanted. The sky is a bright orange, light enough to see, but just dark enough that Gloaming's eyes don't need to strain. On Sancta, there is nobody to cross your path, to kick the yellow flowers or kill the birds. Wherever Pet Joseph is going, he will see no one.
My confession, says Gloaming. Perhaps interrogation would suit.
You're not a... The man stops, thinks.
A criminal.
You have committed unfortunate acts.
I am no criminal here.
Sancta is a home for monsters, killers, and the furthest from God. Yet... somehow you found peace, a resolution with each other. How do you remain here? How do you pay your carers?
We have all killed Mr. Joseph.
The priest pauses. Gloaming notices strain in his breath as he continues to push. The man sighs and takes a deep breath before changing the subject.
This planet is beautiful. I've always wanted to see the sun set over the lakes.
People tell stories out there. They say they're made of diamonds. I believe you know the way?
Up the hill, says Gloaming.
The man chuckles. Of course. There isn't a soul for miles. No one else lives here?
No one, Gloaming replies. Except for my dear friends, of course.
They're the same as you?
You could say that. I don't think that your god would approve.
Of the mass killings? No, for some reason. He hums. Funny.
Your nurses, your doctors, Gloaming hisses. They're very kind to you.
There's definitely resentment in that man's voice.
It's very unholy, thinks Gloaming.
Best to tell him that he forces them to, on the threat of a bloody excruciating death. What's a more frightening lie? Electric chair? Nail pulling?
Repay.
Ah, yes, of course.
We're not monsters,
he mutters. The man pauses just before the foot of the hill, where the smooth stone of the path merges into short grass. It's not steep by any means. In fact, the gently sloped surface is hardly an incline, more like a lean upwards. There are many things he loves about the hill. Its peak can be seen from his room. He enjoys that it is empty. He enjoys how the grass never seems to grow past the tips of his claws. He enjoys just how ripe and unspoiled it looks. Gloaming ponders this as the wheels on his chair roll the grass into a flat heap. Pardon me for saying, but you seem to have engineered the end of your life well in advance of it. I'm imminently aware of your lack of belief, but if not God, to whom do you pass your final confession?
I don't feel like I have anything to confess.
You don't feel guilty? Gloaming smiles, pushing his claws into the soft leather of the end of his chair.
Maybe. Perhaps. Go on then, if it'll indulge you.
Thank you.
You'll keep my secrets, Father,
says Gloaming, in a very good imitation of concern. Anything you say is between you and God.
Liar,
he thinks.
Very professional,
he says. Would you like to start at the beginning? I presume this is your first confession.
I was a soldier. I slit throats.
At the beginning, truthfully, your upbringing, your mother, father.
They were present.
Yes, but how did they raise you as a child?
Child is a name for defenseless parasites. I think of myself more highly.
Pet Joseph sighs. His strides slow a little into what seem like begrudging shoves. It feels a lot like being winched. We all have our origins, where God made us to be, Pet Joseph says. The word God sounds foreign in his mouth.
A putrefied rock, says Gloaming.
You were raised there.
My mother, my father, split their skin into the dirt and the rain and the famine. We were a warrior race, Mr. Joseph, reduced to clawing grain from silt.
God made you be. Gloaming spits,
God played no part in my survival.
Very well, if you're sure, says the man. Do you know why I'm here?
To know where they are. I hid them very well, didn't I?
Call it a personal interest.
I am not a child, Mr. Joseph.
No, you insisted you weren't.
You want me to tell you exactly what you need and the truth packaged into one little speech? Being a priest has its conveniences. It's a fitting disguise. I commend you on that.
He's not sure if the man behind him laughs or chokes. It's a rather undignified noise of a man very clearly failing his mission. This is me, I assure you. I'm only here to offer you truth. And confession for the soul, Pet Joseph adds dutifully.
How saintly.
Your time is limited here like Sancta's other residents. Why retire? Some part of you must have known what you were doing was wrong. I believe you found solace here. You want to repent, to separate yourself from your sins.
I find solace, Mr. Joseph, in slaughter and the white, hard limbs of a body. I will tell you a story. Take it from my repentance, if you will. I was born on a planet already dead. My people dug starvation rations from the ground every day. On the day a child could first walk, it helped its parents sift grain from the silt. Our bodies grew flesh as an afterthought to a skeleton. But we were a proud race, too stubborn to die. There had been once food, silence. We had traveled in time and adventured amongst the stars. Beyond our planet there had been banquets and festivals, meat and fat. We were wealthy people. So we worked, in the hope that one day our children would be fed.
Gloaming pauses, breathes, traces the length of his arm where his bones should be.
Foolishly, I thought a species capable of time travel should never starve. How noble we were being, sacrificing our flesh so the search could go on. For pittance and measly grain enough to breathe. It seemed to me as if I had purpose. I mined and I labored for a mouthful each day, and the barest muscle over my bones. And when I had grown, and the dirt and the rock still covered the grain, I was drafted.
Drafted? Says the man, surprised.
There will always be money for wars that cannot be fought. From those with flesh on their bones and thick, gleaming scales, my people were slaughtered. The fumes of artillery guns contaminated the soil, and soon my people were not skeletons at all. They were ash. I was small and faster than the rest, but I was starving.
He stops, looks half back at the man.
I had no choice.
The traveler doesn't say anything for a while. Gloaming wonders how off script he's getting. Your people drafted children to fight.
My people drafted grandmothers to fight.
How did you survive? And no, no child should have to live through that. I'm sorry.
I learnt to defend myself, says Gloaming.
To slaughter?
With determination, you learn to cause agony. My first kill was slow, cowardly. I was nothing but a corpse with breath. He choked, I wrung his neck, and when his body had cooled, I bled it and sliced it and cooked it. I chewed the flesh from him piece by piece. I had no desire to starve. Of course I didn't, so I learnt. I was fast at it. I was good at it. Imaginative. Battle sites are not designed to be abattios, Mr. Joseph. Unless you become efficient.
There is silence. A short eternity of sick, beautiful quiet. He's struggling to restrain the disgust.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Eating the flesh of others is perverse.
It is a perversion, Father. Eating the flesh, I was perverse. But how could I stop?
It's an affront to life, a sick mockery of everything, anything sacred. But you can be redeemed in the eyes of God if you repent for your crimes.
Is your own defense a crime, Father? Is the feeding of your people? How could I deprive my family of flesh?
You enjoyed it, says Pet Joseph.
How could I not enjoy the fact of my own survival? I fed my planet. I saved my species from extinction.
You destroyed them, Gloaming laughs.
They were shooting at me.
It was wrong.
I was lauded as a hero. I fought my planet's wars and I won them. It won.
You didn't stop.
No. I suppose you want more.
The man stumbles back into character. I'm here to take confession. It's only right for me to hear all of it. Gloaming peers at where the man's arms meet his chair. He's muscular, strong enough for grunt work. Gloaming wonders if he brands himself as a vigilante. Supporting the weight of someone his size is impressive for a human. His younger self might have worried about self-preservation. What there is left of his own body is rudimentary, a frame that cannot move, dull scales, and a stunted tail. He has his own mind and 10 blunt claws, but they are rearing to stumps now. If the man wanted to hurt him, he could. There would be the matter of escaping the planet's security, an alibi, an escape pod, but Gloaming would already be dead. He looks over. The ore-burned trees beyond the hill are just starting to peek over the side of the slope. The sun is slowly falling towards the horizon, but the air is still boiling over itself. It reminds him of polished amber.
I suppose it is an excellent story to tell.
Good, says the man, and then half relieved, thank you.
I finished in the army,
Gloomy begins.
After my service, my species was born with flesh on their bones. Children never again had to claw through silt for measly rations. I suppose I had lived all I could. I discovered boredom, and I reveled in it. Do you know what a luxury it is to be bored?
Pet Joseph doesn't say anything. Gloaming doesn't wait for an answer.
I suppose I wanted to better myself. I was a hero. I could have asked for any tool at my planet's disposal, so I asked for a ship. I looked for every species that had allied themselves with my enemies, and I made them feel what I felt.
Pain?
Desperation. Their bodies were never used. Never recycled. I should have never been so wasteful, but that was just it. I wanted them to go to waste. They deserved it.
You left them for their families, the man corrects them. You left them behind so people could mourn.
How kind of me.
Carry on.
I realized my mistake. The waste of it. I'd forgotten myself. I was a hero for feeding my people, for making use of what I had, and I was squandering my gift. So, I learned. I chose better.
What do you mean you chose?
I found who I needed to kill, and I killed them.
You mean you found who you wanted to kill?
Possibly.
He chuckles.
Need, want, Mr. Joseph.
Not the same.
Sometimes I was clever. I left some behind. People wrote history books, advertisements. They came after me to slaughter me in return, and they brought thousands of bodies with them.
The massacre of Calabastri, the killings of Tiberho, Hensenstein?
Amongst many, so many bodies.
But you slowed down, didn't you?
All those species I had slaughtered in the war, I had been careless, too emotive. There were a handful left, settled on the outer edge of the galaxy. A rumor of them spread through the galaxy, through the lowest dregs, and then to me. The people were peaceful, of course. They had never wanted to fight. A small family of them living in the mountains of a backwater planet, wasting their life, hidden away.
So you wanted to fight them anyway?
Naturally.
Gloaming remembers the moment so well. The perfect realization that his job wasn't done, that his people would glorify him. Somebody had given him the gift of a job half finished, and he would not waste the opportunity.
They hid right on the very edge of the universe. They were perfect cowards, and I wanted them so badly. I couldn't live without picturing it. I had to see them dead. I plotted my entrance. They had to be eating, all of them around the table, as many as I could. There had to be the eldest ones there too, the ones who'd know me from the war. It took me days, plans, and maps and knives. I had to savor it. They would only die once. The night came so soon. I slipped past their security and crept up the path, right to the door. I listened whilst they ate, to the bone grind of their teeth and the way they tore up the meat. And when they were done, I slipped through the door. I stood there and let them scramble. They couldn't kill me. How would they kill me with no weapons? In the end, it only took me a minute. I left the oldest to last.
He pauses, breathes as the image tears through his head.
I never looked at her. Not really. In all my planning, I'd never truly looked. And I must have stared, because she was halfway to the floor when I noticed. There was a thing in front of me, with trembling lips and broken skin. She had lived so long that the very lines of her had sunk. I looked down into the cold grey of my knife and saw myself, the same lines, the same disgusting rot.
Gloaming looks at the scales along his arm, the putrid skin peeling beneath them.
I deserved to be beautiful. She deserved to be beautiful. But we were disgusting. So, I stopped. I left the house and the old woman. I left the bodies too. I scald myself for the waste now, but that was just it. I couldn't look at her. Not ever again.
The man doesn't speak. He's disgusted, breathing through his teeth, thinking Gloaming wouldn't notice the disdain with which he climbs. After everything, you stopped killing and you hid for an old woman. Why? When you loved it so much.
Look at me, father,
Gloaming says, though the point is dead.
My scales are dull, my skin is brittle. I could no longer live, so I came where I could die in peace. Wouldn't you?
I would never have killed children, Gloaming. Tiny living things who could never wrong you.
Parasites. You're wrong, he growls. So you say.
They're about to reach the very top of the hill. He can tell by the haze of crystal light ahead.
I believe you wanted to see this, father.
The chair rolls onto even land, and suddenly, Gloaming can see the whole world. The relief of the hill, sloping gently down towards the edge of a glinting diamond lake. Shoals of jewels ebbing and flowing against the shore. They're so bright in the light of the sun, almost blinding. A cluster of songbirds sit perched in the very center, calling up at the wide open sky. Their calls are harmonizing with the soft clinking, swooshing sound of the gemstone shore. The man sets him down beside the edge of the hill. It's close. Just another inch, and he could fall. At least he could frighten the birds on his way down. A quick exit. Gloaming's eyes squint in the hot sun. Is edging towards the horizon now, yet still the heat on his scales is pushing tropical.
It's spectacular. All of it.
Yeah, it is.
Sick of it already? I thought you wanted a good view.
I thought you'd feel something. Just a scrap of repentance.
I'm sorry for disappointing you.
The man hisses through his teeth. You just don't have a concept of it. Is that it? You don't believe in God because you think you are one?
I never said that.
You think you can just use people as meat, as tools? Gods do that!
Gods, plural?
Gloaming smiles. Yeah, so what if there are?
I don't like liars, father. You play faith like a bad instrument.
Well, maybe faith isn't something you'd understand.
I understand delusion. Though I think you're too simple to be deluded.
Simple? The man's character breaks wide open. You'd understand simple, wouldn't you? Killing to save your own skin and then killing again because you feel like it. There's nothing complicated about being a psychopath.
Oh, that's better.
You're sick. You're a perverted, sick creature.
Go on. Why are you here?
It's what he wants to hear, isn't it? I'm here because you were stupid enough to let me. You leave people behind to hurt, and they wake up every morning wondering, because you never left a trace, not a hair to remember them by. And there's one part of me that just wants to snap your neck, but that's just it, right? That's too easy. There are people who want to see you before you croak, people who want to bury their families. What have you got to say about that? Gloaming pauses, controls the silence.
I must congratulate you on the priesthood.
Yeah, maybe I'm not an actor, but you know what I am good at? Getting people to crack. And that's what I'm gonna do. We're gonna sit here, and you're gonna realize that I'm your only way back to that stupid little home of yours, and you're going to tell me. The man is stalking around him like he's one, hands moving everywhere at once like it would scare him.
If you want to stay dumb, fine. I got time, I got contacts, you won't live to see another year here and you know it. Expensive nurses can't save death.
Do you want to know something, Father?
What?
I'm not afraid to die.
You sure about that? Is that really what you want to say right now? One touch and I could destroy you.
I'll rephrase that. Maybe you could answer some of my questions.
Gloaming's eyes follow the sun as its very tip sinks below the horizon.
Do you really think somebody out there cares what we do? Is there somebody beyond life itself who really cares?
I don't believe in God.
Neither do I, but think. When a spider kills a fly, do you think he knows what hell is? Does it burn there for eternity?
That's nature. It's different.
We're all just part of a nature, Mr. Joseph. A cycle of beautiful life. Nothing is wasted. Everything is food, wealth, fuel if we make it so. What does it matter how many I kill?
Murder isn't beautiful.
Tell me then, do you know what beauty is?
Life. Life is the only beautiful thing about this world, and the only thing worth fighting for.
The lake,
says Gloaming.
I think it's beautiful.
Can monsters have a concept of beauty?
The fact of what I kill endows me with a concept of beauty. Without beauty, there is no horror, don't you think? That many diamonds, their value makes them powerful, and yet here they sit on a planet of monsters.
Yeah. They're beautiful, the man says, and not reluctantly. Gloaming can hear the glimmer in his eyes, but they're beautiful without ownership. You own this, all of you. A fraction of that lake is yours. That's how you afford everything. I'm right, aren't I?
We take from the lake when we need to. Everyone has their share.
Yeah. You're filthy rich, the man spits. Which makes it even worse. You think you can get away with it? You think you can tell me some sob story of a dirt poor childhood and I'll believe it?
Gloaming smiles.
Oh, I never lied.
Yeah? Where'd you get them from then?
Diamonds form over billions of years. That's all this planet was then. Dirt. Like many others, time made it shine. I just waited.
You waited? Don't lie to me. You could wait a million years. Dirt doesn't turn to diamond. Not this close to the surface. Not without pressure.
Terraforming is a wonderful thing. My friends and I moved some things around.
Sancta barely existed until the home. Your home. No natural process speeds that up.
Then it dawns on him.
You're a time traveler. That's cheap.
That's the problem, Father. Dirt is so impure, the carbon hides in it. Why retire on 1 carat when 24 presents itself to you so naturally?
What do you mean?
Carbon, in all its forms, is a miracle, Father.
Pet Joseph kicks the ground beside his chair. It judders towards the edge.
You're playing games with me. I don't accept that from monsters. I came here because a family needs to sleep at night.
Gloaming sighs. He's slow. He's so slow. Slower than the others? He hasn't timed.
You don't understand me. I've led you to your truth.
The man behind him pauses. He looks over the diamond lakes. Gloaming can see him comprehending it. The logistics of it all. It's there, creeping into his head, oh so slowly. He can see the moment it hits.
No, says the traveler to the lake. How much carbon to form a diamond?
Thinks Gloaming.
No. How many bodies for a jewel? You didn't. No. Because life is a treasure. And who is he? Time agency, is it?
Says Gloaming, but the man has already made his decision. Pet Joseph leaps from the monster's side and rips his communicator from his belt. The device gives out a jumble of static. He thrusts it into the air, his hands trembling, and swears, but there isn't a soul here. The man fumbles with the buttons of the communicator. It's desperate and sweaty, and each press lets out a garble of white noise. He shouts, first at the thing, and then at him, before skidding on his heel and taking off back down the slope. Gloaming waits for him to reach the bottom of the hill before sinking back into his chair. It's a perfect day. The sun is spreading deep oranges onto the surface of the lake, and he can just about begin to see the leaves of the boro trees shedding their leaves. It would be nice to stay a while. Of course, when the man reports whatever crime he thinks has been committed, he will be told that no trace of such sancta exists. That the diamonds in his pocket will mean an awful lot as a donation to a grieving widow. That it's very valiant of him to try. That it should be commended.
It's charity, isn't it?
Thinks Gloaming. It's kind of him. Just kind.